It happened, everybody. It finally happened. The Friday you've been dreaming about for 6 days, it's here. Happy Friday. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our phone number, our text line, 312-981-7200. Hey, Wendy.
Good morning. I swear to God, I've always loved The Cure, but yeah. Every Friday when I hear this and look at you, it's like
puts
I'm
in the
heaven.
Mind of heaven. Yeah. Yep. I'm a seraphim.
That's the one of the head angels,
That's one of the top angels, right. And a terrapin is?
Terrapin Station is a Grateful Dead
Terrapin is a swimmer.
Song.
I wonder if you could be both a terrapin and a seraphim. Could you be a swimming angel? If such a job exists, I'm going to apply for that job because that'd be a pretty cool job.
If you could fly, what did you say a terrapin was?
I believe a swimmer.
All right, it's a small edible turtle.
Yeah, they swim. In our school, at Oak Forest High School, the swim team was called the terrapins.
They
so
were?
I just assumed, because they could all swim, that they were swimmers.
Although, I guess turtles swim quickly, but
oh, yeah,
it's like you wouldn't call the track team the turtles.
Our track team was called the turtles. We finished in last place in every event we ever were in.
But that's what you were going for, so...
It said, slow and steady, a huge banner. Slow and steady wins the race. Well, I'm here to tell you that banner is wrong. As it turns out, fast and steady wins the race, not slow and steady. We were all told the wrong thing.
That's the swim team.
Why is that a phrase, slow and steady wins the race? Think about the history.
The turtle and the hare. If you go too quickly, you get sidestepped. If you just put your head down and move forward, eventually you will get to the end. What is to explain to you?
But that's in a fairy tale. Like in real life, if you look at the results of the past 5,000 Olympics, it's the racer who starts out strong and ends strong that wins the race, not the one that goes slow and steady.
It's a metaphor for things other than a race, Bill, Mr. Competitive.
I don't think it's accurate.
No, somebody...
I'm going to talk to Aesop the next time I see him and tell him that his fable is wrong.
Aesop.
Slow and steady wins the race? Really?
Right, because you keep your nose to the grindstone, which that hurts too. Who came up with that?
Take a look at footage of Jesse Owens just running like crazy. He didn't start out slow and just remain slow. He bolted. He was
because he was a sprinter.
Right.
In life, there are sprinters and there are long-distance running. Runners. Dorothy, help us.
All right. I guess there's something to it, but I think that needs to be amended slightly.
If you're going in at like a, they don't even do 50-yard dashes. That's how old I am. It was a 50-yard dash.
Yeah. What is it now?
It's a meter, whatever it is.
All right.
The 50-meter, maybe?
Yeah, it could be.
But, you know, if you're going for that, obviously you're not going to want to just pace yourself.
Right.
You're going to want to sprint.
Fast.
But what if you're doing, like, you know, a marathon? If you did what the hare would be run full blast the whole marathon, you would tucker out and never finish.
But
slow and steady wins the race.
But a guy or girl who did do that for the whole race would beat a guy who went slow and steady the entire race.
But they couldn't do it. They couldn't keep up at the fastest pace for how long is a 52 miles? Is that a marathon?
26.
26.
Yeah. All right.
Point 2. 26.2.
All right. I see those numbers on the car. I thought, there's 13 and 26, right?
Right, right,
okay.
Right.
My math was good, though. Come on.
13.1.
52. I did that very quickly, though I was wrong.
Well, right, but you still got it done quickly. Mary, you're a runner. Wouldn't you say that if your true dream is to win a race, you should go pretty fast and not go slow and steady?
Not a marathon.
Not with me, because I'd probably go, if I went too fast, I'd trip over my feet and then I'd stumble. No. And if I was going slower, I would be more accurate and safe.
Right.
All right. But if it's, again, if you're going a sprint and you see the finish line, obviously go. I almost swore.
Go ahead. I think it's warranted.
Go
swear.
Very quick. Go something out. Go
all
really
fast.
Go,
go
all out. Yes.
Mary, that was no swear. Mary got it done without swearing once.
Mary's Mary. I'm not.
I know.
Obviously, if you see the finish line, you go as fast as you can. If it is a lengthy race and you can't see the finish line, you have to pace yourself or you will burn out.
All right.
Like a shooting star, Bill.
All right. In the next half hour, we'll dissect Look Before You Leap. Make sure you're listening for that. That's our whole that should be the whole show, is every half hour we just take a common phrase and try to destroy it.
And then on Bop. We'll do
Hop
that
on
too.
Pop.
Don't
no,
we
bop.
Do that every day?
Bop? No, it's Pop.
It's Pop.
Isn't it Bop?
No.
No.
Okay, then.
No, it's Hop on Pop.
Well, in the book, they
this on
with
Dr.
Everything.
Seuss's birthday, Mary. Really, you're going to ruin Dr. Seuss's
it's
birthday?
His birthday today?
I think
is
it is.
His birthday?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just
wait. You didn't hear that in the news, or you just automatically go to Dr. Seuss and it's
Bon Jovi's birthday.
Yeah,
I know. Hopped on him.
Oh, Wendy, don't please. Come on, in front of the kids.
All right. Yeah. Well, you can look that up.
I have a story here from MSN that says surprising facts for Dr. Seuss in honor of his birthday.
Theodore Geisel?
March the 2nd is... Oh, that was very nice. Yes, it is Theodore Geisel's birthday. And later on, if you're good, there's fun facts about him.
Ted is dead.
Isn't he
dead?
One of them. Yeah, he is. He is.
Well, can we take a break and can we
Yeah, we've got plenty to discuss with you. Stick around. It's more of this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. We can certainly talk about Dr. Seuss, who, if he was alive today, would be furious that they buried him. Furious.
I love that joke.
But first, involved in something last night you wanted to talk about.
I went to see the concert for George. I've realized my son Dylan, who's 15, is a George Harrison snob.
Is he?
I was talking about George's son Danny. I know it's spelled D-H-A-N-I, but I've heard a lot of people refer to him as Danny. I wanted to say Donnie.
I think it's Danny, though, right?
Is Donnie. Although Eric Clapton called him Danny.
Yeah, I've heard, yeah.
Huh. And then my other son, Michael, says, you know how we have do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do?
Huh.
When George was getting into the Indian music, and Ravi Shankar was featured in this, their version of do, re, mi, la, ti, whatever is different, and it ends with da and ni, and that's why George named him Donnie.
The scales are different in India.
Yep,
words. I didn't know that.
There's no do, re, mi. It's
so
different.
So if I see The Sound of Music in an Indian theater, that song will be completely different.
Yes.
Oh, all right. I'll keep that in mind.
But so I kept getting corrected by my 15-year-old, and I'm sorry, it irritated me. Like, I am the queen of rock and roll.
You should have made him walk home. Teach him a lesson. Yeah.
But we went to the Marcus Theaters in Orland Park. They have a bar. Can I just say that it's awesome?
Mm-hmm.
I had a nice little Moscow Mule. And
To the movie?
Well, you order it, you pick it up, and then you bring it in, and there's recliners.
The
it was really awesome. Oh. But here's the weird part about seeing the concert for George. I had not seen it before. It was done in 2002. It was sad. Donnie Harrison looks just like a young George.
Yeah,
it's
does.
Like uncanny, and he played on stage throughout the whole thing. And after every song, I was like, woo! And I was the only one doing it because I forgot I was in a theater and not at the concert.
That might have been the Moscow Mule messing with you a little.
No, because after the first time I did it, then my know-it-all George Harrison snob son started doing it too.
I'm
like, all right, is he doing this to support me or to make fun of me?
I think make fun.
Although then by the end, people were clapping.
Oh, they were.
It's weird seeing a concert
right.
not like going, oh my God, yeah. And you know,
respond to it.
Yeah,
sure.
And sometimes I like to sing along at concerts.
Oh, how was that taken?
After
by
one
the
song, I stopped.
Because somebody suggested you stop, or did you do that on your own?
I realized, you know, the sound was phenomenal, but it wasn't like being at a live concert.
But it shows that what they set out to do was a success. You got the feeling that you were there at a live show, so that was great.
And it was, no pun intended, very heartbreaking when I saw Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah. So this is a younger version because it was done years
2002.
ago. 2002. Yeah. I bet it was.
And, you know, he's up on stage to pay tribute to his friend.
Yeah.
And, like, now he's gone. It was very sad. The encore, the end, it was very touching. And it was great to see all the Monty Python people, except for not for John Cleese. He was not part of it, but... Michael Palin, Terry Jones.
Who's not doing well.
Which one? Terry Jones?
Terry Jones is not doing well.
Really?
Yeah, he has dementia right now.
Ugh.
So that's rough to see him.
Terry Gilliam, they all... Yeah. Tom Hanks.
Oh, he was involved?
He was part of the... George Harrison loved Monty Python and funded Life of Brian, or that movie wouldn't have been made.
Yeah.
So they came out, Michael Palin did the Lumberjack song, and there were a bunch of Mounties, and Tom Hanks was one of,
one of the Mounties.
It was this was really, really a great, the Concert for George, got to be honest with you, I'm ordering it on Amazon because I have to own it, but it was really super cool seeing it at the Marcus Theaters, Orland Park. They had it in Addison and Gurnee as well. So cool to see a concert like that on the big screen.
Yeah.
So highly recommended. And I met listeners who, they were celebrating their 43rd wedding anniversary. They heard us talking about it, and they went out to the Orland Park Marcus Theater to see it, to celebrate their 43rd anniversary.
You don't remember their names, do you?
I don't. I know, that's bad.
Danny and Donnie?
Yes.
All right. Happy anniversary, Danny and Donnie. Wendy, it's also the birthday of Dr. Seuss. He would be, seriously, he'd be 114 years old today if he was still with us.
That's old.
Yeah. I would say he's one of those guys that if you ever were a kid or had a kid, you probably had at least one or two or three Dr. Seuss books somewhere in your home, wouldn't you? Can you imagine having a child or two and not showing them the magic of Dr. Seuss? That'd be impossible.
Here's my question. Do parents now turn their kids on to Dr. Seuss? Because there's so many new books. We lived with Dr. Seuss.
I'm going to vote yes.
Not physically.
That would also be fun to have him living at the house. Although I understood he got up late at night often. I don't know why. But I think a parent now would have a nostalgia factor if they went to a bookstore. If they could find a bookstore and they went to the bookstore, there'd be a nostalgia factor like, oh, I had this as a kid and my parents probably did, so we're going to pass this along.
Yeah.
You know? There were so many happy nights I remember when my daughters were little of us reading them Dr. Seuss stories. And I almost didn't have to read them anymore. They were almost committed to memory because the kids liked the cadence of the writing so much. You kind of, you memorized them after a while. So over at MSN to celebrate his birthday, his 114th birthday, they put together a bunch of fun facts about Dr. Seuss, things that they say you probably don't know. They call them surprising facts, but Wendy, I would bet that you already knew most of these.
All right, go ahead.
For instance, his name was not Dr. Seuss. You already knew his name.
Theodore Geisel.
His middle name was Seuss.
It was?
Born Theodore, with no E at the end, Theodore Seuss Geisel on March 2nd, 1904. He was born in Springfield, Massachusetts.
What's your middle name? Wayne? We should start calling you Dr.
Seuss.
Wayne.
No, because then Dr. Wayne Dyer would be all over me.
I don't know who that is.
He used to be a self-help guy on TV all the time. Seuss began using multiple pen names after he got in trouble for drinking bootleg gin while attending Dartmouth. Did you expect that? I didn't.
No, this is your quintessential kids author.
Yeah. He was booted from his position of editor-in-chief at the college's humor magazine called Jack-O-Lantern, but continued to publish work under different names. Seuss eventually shortened Dr. Theophrastus Seuss to just Dr. Seuss. I think that's catchier.
Theophrastus?
Yeah, I don't know why he called himself that. Because Theodore was his born name, but he just wanted to juice it up a little bit, I guess. Seuss originally planned to save his real name for when he became a novelist.
Ah.
That was his original goal, to be a novelist.
Is that the gin talking?
I think it was. I think it was. Before Seuss published his first book, do you know what his first book was? I bet this was one you read. It's not. I'll be honest with
you. Horton Hears a Who.
No. This isn't his best work, but if you're going to read his stuff, you got to read this
one. One Fish, Two Fish.
Nope. And to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street. Do you remember that one?
Nope.
You don't remember that one? In 1937, he made his living writing copy and creating ads for major companies like NBC and the Ford Motor Company. He was a madman.
He was a madman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to picture Theodore Geisel being Don Draper.
Come on. This is a lot along the lines of Shel Silverstein, who also was hanging at the Playboy Mansion, yet
always.
These kids loved his books. This is
it's an earlier
a dichotomy,
version of that.
Is it not?
Yeah. That's
I read the dictionary last night. I said quintessential and dichotomy in 10 minutes.
This is going to be a good day. There's a bunch of facts, but I just want to get to this one because I know we don't have a whole lot of time, and I think you'll enjoy this one. In 1939, Dr. Seuss published his book, The Seven Lady Godivas, The True Facts Concerning History's Barest Family, which is a retelling of the legends of Lady Godiva and Peeping Tom. The book included pictures of female nudes.
Excuse me?
Seuss.
Nude who's?
Yes. Nude who's.
Nude who's too.
I didn't see pictures. You could probably find pictures online. But he had a very... The way he drew... wasn't like everybody else, and you can almost envision his version of drawing naked ladies for a book, couldn't you?
Yes.
Seuss would like to say that he felt that it was a flop because he couldn't draw sexy naked ladies.
No, it was a flop. So oh. She wasn't sexy.
Right, that's why. And he has a point. Imagine naked ladies drawn by Dr. Seuss. This isn't particularly erotic. Now, Wendy, you have found a picture, and I have to disagree. I find that picture very, very erotic.
They look like the Who's. They're a little bottom heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shorter upper
like if
torsos.
There was a key party in Whoville, it might look exactly like that illustration.
They didn't need keys.
Well, they didn't have pockets. So they couldn't have a key party there.
Can we take a very quick phone call?
Yeah.
A special happy anniversary is in order to a lovely woman that I met last night.
There you go.
And what is your name?
Hello?
I'm Nancy.
It's Nancy, Bill.
How are you, Nancy?
And your husband's name was Dan.
Ted.
Oh, look, it ties in. I am so bad.
No, it's Ed.
Ed. Nancy and Ed. Sitting in a tree for 43 years.
Congrats, Nancy. That's wonderful news.
43 years of marital bliss.
Yep.
All of them?
No.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, wasn't it a really good concert? And didn't you at some point feel like you were at a live concert?
Absolutely. You know what? I was clapping with you.
I didn't know
you were the one that was clapping.
All right. Good.
But I found myself clapping, you know, just spontaneously.
I held my lighter up at one point.
So at first, Nancy, did you know when you heard somebody laughing and clapping and applauding and yelling Free Bird during the movie, did you know it was Wendy?
Nancy saw me walking up the stairs.
Oh.
And said, you know, we're here because of you. And I said, cool. But I didn't know it was your anniversary at the time.
I know. And then we talked about our knee surgeries and all
the
other
stuff. Yeah, she had knee replacements.
Yep.
Yeah. Nancy, it's fun to be old, isn't it?
Oh, it's a real riot.
And then over to Sizzler for dinner, Nancy, for you guys?
As a matter of fact, we did.
Oh, that's a good time. That's excellent.
I ate at the Marcus Theater.
We know how to celebrate.
Yeah.
Well, happy anniversary. It was so nice to meet you, and we're so glad that you listen every day. And I don't know if you're a weather geek like me, but I would like to share something with you.
Go ahead.
I'm stealing one of these for myself. I have two of me.
There's plural.
Yes, there's Weekend Wendy and Weekday.
Yeah.
We have a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. And I am a weather geek. You can put it anywhere. It's portable. It'll tell you the time, the temperature, the dew point, and all those things. So we'll set you up with
that. Wow.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
Share this with Ed, Nancy.
You.
Promise us. You got to share it with Ed.
I promise you.
You're the best. Thanks, Nancy.
Nice to
happy
meet
anniversary.
You. That's embarrassing. I am really
couldn't
bad with
remember
names.
Their names.
Bob, we got to take a break.
Bill. It's Bill. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll all be back. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Doma D, feel free, if you have time, to stick around, because Wendy may need a lifeline on this.
As long as you keep playing this music, I'll
then
stick around for the whole show.
Right.
And another one gone.
All right.
I got my lighter up. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. did any of you see, I hope you saw this, because it was really one of the best films of the year, The Shape of Water.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it yet?
I've heard I'm going to love it.
Boy, you know, it's hard to predict because it's one of those movies. It's a very strange movie.
But it's a love story and love rules.
Well, yeah. You just said it beautifully. Yeah. Yeah. Domati, did you see that, The Shape of Water?
I have not.
You've not?
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I think you like it.
I have not heard a negative.
Most people seem to like it.
Oh,
yes,
I saw
Mary, you
do.
Saw it. What'd you think?
Well, at first, I almost walked out.
Oh.
Why? Really?
Because why?
Because she fell in love way too quick with this thing. And I thought, that doesn't happen, especially one that, you know, looks
love
so attractive.
Love knows no bounds.
Love, Wendy says that love knows no bounds,
Mary.
It was
just a little odd. And it just, you know, but then I guess after everyone said, oh, it's beautiful. And the music, it was cool. I liked the music.
It's not unlike Beauty and the Beast kind of a thing, right?
Right. It's similar.
Well, it's similar, but in the Beauty and the Beast, it takes her a while. I mean, she's afraid of him at first. And, you know, it takes her a while to fall in love.
So, Mary, you've never in your life, you've never seen a sea creature and just within moments fallen in love, helplessly in love, ever?
No. Maybe a goldfish, but
that's it. That's it.
No,
Mr. Limpet turned me on.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Limpet.
It was just weird. I don't know.
Until he lived up
weird.
To his name,
Wendy.
I mean, I guess
every Friday.
You're a shock jock. I won't accept that.
Just like Bernie.
All right, so you've seen it, Mayor. Would you qualify this movie, The Shape of Water? And the reason I bring this up is the Academy Awards are Sunday, and I'll explain more later. But would you categorize this movie, The Shape of Water, as more of a love story? or a science fiction film or kind of a crossbreed in between?
I think it's more of a love story.
Do you?
Yeah, there's not much science fiction. And it's kind of...
except that it's a sea creature.
There is that.
It's a little suspenseful, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you to give anything away because there are a lot of people that haven't seen it, including myself and Domitian.
All right.
And I like suspense, but is it like a love story, so.
Is it a scientific experiment, or should we not know that?
I don't want to tell you that.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you that.
Yeah, there's not much there. I mean, it's cool because it's an older, the 60s?
Yeah,
I think it's... 50s or whatever. So that kind of makes it, cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to see it.
Yeah, you should see it. Definitely.
All right. So the problem is this. If you needed to categorize the movie, when I first saw the previews for it, the way that they were selling it to me, or I felt they were selling it to me, was that it was a science fiction fantasy type movie. When I saw it, I would put it more in the guise of, like Mary said, kind of a romance, although it has all kinds of science fiction telltale signs throughout the movie, as we mentioned. It is kind of a Creature of the Black Lagoon kind of a thing. What if a woman fell in love with the creature from the Black Lagoon? It's kind of an idea. So here's the question I pose to you. Let's say this movie, The Shape of Water, was a science fiction movie, because a lot of people view it as that, and it won the Academy Award for Best Movie of the Year. When was the last time that happened, that a sci-fi movie took home that prize, that a sci-fi movie won Movie of the Year?
Didn't Star Wars ever win anything?
Star Wars was nominated.
Never won.
But did not win for...
The Wrath of Khan.
Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. I don't remember being nominated. Although Ricardo Montalban...
He was good.
He won 3 awards that night.
He did, honestly?
No.
Okay.
He didn't win any awards.
I don't know why that is the first thing that popped into
me. He was not nominated.
What about Gravity? Was that... You remember that one?
Gravity. Oh, I loved that. Can we take a super celebrity phone call?
They better be super.
Well.
Who is it?
A semi-celebrity.
Yeah, go to the semi-celebrity hotline, Wendy.
John Williams, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you. We can see you.
Okay, good. I just wanted to add one thing to the Shape of Water conversation.
Sure.
Well, I think you'll know in the first 7 minutes of that movie if you're going to like it or not.
Because
it is so weird.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's just so weird. It's so, and there's so many leaps of logic. There's so much stuff. You go, wait, those ladies wouldn't be around that creature,
right?
And she dances with the. There's a dance scene late in the movie. It doesn't give anything away, but I'm telling you, if you think the first 7 minutes are weird, wait till you get to the dance number at the end. It's a very bizarre film.
I agree.
Well, that's because you're a dancer now, John.
Right. You've got some background.
I mean, I don't like science fiction. I don't like any of those kind of movies. But, because of the love story aspect, yes. But, she doesn't talk throughout the whole movie either because she's mute.
Right.
So, but her acting is phenomenal. Phenomenal acting.
Yeah, the fish doesn't talk either.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
all right, you guys are giving away way too much stuff that for someone who hasn't seen it yet.
No, we're not. I just worry that you guys are selling it like, oh, it's a great movie. Everybody's going to love it.
No one said that.
John, believe me, that's why I can't predict whether Wendy will like it or not, because it's one of those movies that I enjoyed immensely, but I have a hard time recommending to most people.
And Bill is a romantic at heart.
I'm a romantic at heart and a sea creature at heart.
Sigmund.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that shout out of warning to people.
Oh, that's fair. All right. Well
thanks,
thank you, John.
And we'll be listening to you when you're on later this afternoon at 1 p.m., 1 to 3. And tomorrow you're on as well, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You work 2 hours a day, and now with the White Sox, you work 1 hour a day. Bill and I were talking. We think you should go to the stream when the White Sox take the air. What are you complaining about working those 2 hours on Saturday? You're worse than us.
X-nay on the stream's nay, please. There.
All right. All right. Fair enough. Thank you, John.
Love
Have
you.
A good
See
day.
You, John.
Wendy, you just brought up a genius point. Could they remake this? I know it was just made, but Hollywood loves to remake movies just days after the original. Could they remake The Shape of Water and use Sigmund from Sigmund and the Sea Monsters as the sea creature? Would that be a more palatable film for most Americans?
Only if you would be the starring role who falls in love with Sigmund.
I'm available. I am looking for a new project.
Because then you would conquer, same-sex relationships.
It'd be like the Brokeback Mountain. Of sci-fi movies.
Then it would be sci-fi with you.
And Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
Right, because Sigmund wasn't the sea monster.
Sigmund was the sea monster.
Well, why is it Sigmund and...
No, it's Sigmund the sea monster. Now, Sigmund the sea monster and Johnny and Scott are friends, the craziest friends you ever did see on the land or on the sea. That was the theme song.
Were Johnny and Scott really good friends?
Johnny Whitaker and Scott Colden were brothers, but they were good friends to Sigmund, sure. Of course they were. You didn't think so? Have I said too much? Spoiler alert.
You are married?
Yeah, I got married. All right, so here's the question that I threw out about an hour and a half ago.
Sorry.
Let's say that this movie, The Shape of Water, is to take home the big trophy and gets to keep it, because last year they gave it to La La Land, and then they went psych, and they gave it to another movie. But let's say this year it wins, and they go, oh, we did that last year. You get to keep the trophy. You're the winner. Yay. When was the last time a sci-fi movie won that award, the movie of the year, the picture of the year from the Academy Awards? How long has it been? Your guess was Star Wars.
Well, yeah, I just
and your other guess was Star Trek The Wrath of Khan.
I don't know why that popped into my head.
How about, well, let's, can we take a break and then I'll tell you?
Yeah.
All right.
Cause I think, you want guesses?
Yeah, people can guess, sure.
Although people cheat.
Oh, they'd look it up, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Bill doesn't let me Google anything unless we really
no
don't
more Googling.
Know.
Yeah. All right, we will explain the last time a sci-fi movie won the Academy Award in just a little bit, so stick around for that.
I hope this is the Dave Edit version.
That's my favorite version.
I'm in love with Dave Edit.
Wait, really? Is that how it goes?
Oh.
All right, here's the question I posed as a small boy, but we haven't come up with an answer yet, so here goes. The Shape of Water is nominated. It's one of, I think, 8 pictures nominated for Movie of the Year for the
pictures.
Academy Awards. The pictures, Wendy.
We going to the picture show?
I got to put it in the pictures.
See?
So when was the last time, if it wins, let's say The Shape of Water surprises everybody or surprises some people, because I guess Three Billboards is the one that's the favorite at this moment.
That doesn't seem like a movie that I... It's awesome. I love that movie.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable.
I just feel like the best picture, the Academy Award winning picture, should be epic.
Should be a spectacle.
Yes.
Right? Something that jumps off
spectacle.
The screen.
Yes.
Right?
Do you agree?
More times than not, that's what wins, is something that awes people. They can't believe it. They see it and they say, aw. But with this one, it's kind of a smaller version of that.
This is like an independent film.
It is an independent film.
And I guess, yes, it is. And I loved it. And I'm not taking away from it, but it just doesn't...
You want something that dazzles you.
But not even special effects. It's just like, I don't know.
An epic.
It's not epic enough.
Like Lawrence of Arabia or Gandhi. Like a big, huge, sprawling...
Production.
Yeah. Yes.
I guess. I don't know.
Or Miss Congeniality. Something like that, where you go, now that's a movie.
I didn't see it.
Well, that's how La La Land was, and look what happened to that.
I know. And they made it worse by giving them snatching it away from them at the last second.
I loved La La Land.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that was great.
The only two.
And Moonlight won, and I didn't even see that.
Yeah, Moonlight was okay, but La La Land, and they did the same dance in La La Land that they did with the sea creature in The Shape of Water. Same step-for-step dance.
The Foxtrot. Mm-hmm.
And John Williams is going to do that with Dancing with the Celebrities. He's mastered that same dance. He and Teddy Roosevelt are going to do that same dance at Dancing with the Celebrities. They're going to win. My money's on John Williams.
Does he dance with Teddy Roosevelt?
Yeah, they danced. They're dance partners.
What about Thomas Jefferson?
They're like the Astaire and Rogers of the century. All right, so which was the last movie, the last sci-fi movie to take home the Academy Award?
A listener called in, and Jasmine, what did they say?
Space Odyssey.
They said 2001, A Space Odyssey.
She sounds confused. You don't know that movie?
No, Stanley Kubrick. Too young to understand.
Oh my god, that should have won. That was a great movie.
You call yourself a Cure Delay fan, and you haven't seen 2001, A Space Odyssey, Jasmine?
I have not.
It's a shame.
A what?
Cure Delay.
What's that?
He's one of the actors in the movie.
You are weird.
Why?
You just are weird.
I know stuff.
Well, just because you know stuff that nobody cares about.
Oh, Wendy. Jasmine, if Cure Delay calls in, put his call through immediately. Don't hesitate.
Do you know who that is?
I know who that is.
All right. How do you know who that
Jasmine
is?
Jasmine knows her stuff, Wendy.
Good
I'm with
God.
You, Wendy. I have no idea.
I know. I never even heard that name.
What's his first name?
Kier.
How do you spell that?
Pierre?
Kier. K-E-I-R. Like the traditional spelling of Kier.
Yeah, that's a common name.
Kier Delay. All right. So the problem with that is it's an excellent guess, but 2001 A Space Odyssey, although nominated for the Academy Award, did not win the Academy Award for Best Picture.
See, that's epic.
Right. That yes,
that
it is.
That was really phenomenal.
Ages. Yes, it is.
What?
Yes, it
God,
is.
God, I wonder what beat it.
So what about maybe A Clockwork Orange? Could that have been the last one?
No, are you kidding? That is...
Hmm, what?
That one?
No,
that,
it didn't.
Okay, because that
it
is...
Didn't.
Listen,
but
I don't...
maybe it should have.
That is an amazing movie, yeah. But there's some disturbing stuff in there that it cannot make it win.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I don't put restrictions on anything
right.
my kids watch,
right.
and I'm hesitant to let my 15-year-old watch Clockwork Orange.
Oh, interesting. Because of its violent nature?
It's pretty violent.
It's very violent. It's very violent.
That's why it could never win.
Right. What about Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Wendy?
Oh.
How about that one?
That was it.
No, it didn't win.
Damn.
Did not win.
It should have.
A couple...
It was epic.
You know what? I'm trying to remember what beat that, but that year I remember I was really pulling for Close Encounters of
really
the Third
good.
Kind. I thought it was really good.
E.T.
Too.
Yeah, I was going to say E.T.
E.T.
Yeah.
Didn't win.
Oh.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial did not win. It was on HBO the other day, and it was one of those deals where I'm just turning channels, and I go, oh, there's E.T., and it was toward the beginning, and I don't remember what the scene was, but I go, I'll watch the scene. This is pretty good. And then I watched the whole rest of the movie, an hour and 10 more minutes.
Look at that.
Just because I hadn't seen it in years, and I knew it was really good, but I forgot how really, really good it is. And Drew Barrymore, even though she was just a little kid.
She was awesome.
She was fantastic.
E.T. phone home.
Listen to that.
Pretty good, huh?
That was excellent, Mayor.
That's the wow. only
that was,
impression
that was very enjoyable.
Do.
That was great. If we need more of that, please stay and buy.
Thank you.
That could
the
come in
only
handy.
One.
Oh, I can do Edith Ann, too. But
I'll do
not.
A little bit of that.
No, I don't want to.
Do Edith Ann and E.T. Going for ice cream.
I can't get into the Edith Ann after...
It's too hard to find.
My name is Edith Ann, and I'm 5 years old.
Oh, that's great.
That's good.
That's mm-hmm. very good. All right. Shall I turn over all the cards and tell you what the last
Poltergeist.
Time? Oh, Wendy. Poltergeist did not win.
God, I hate when
don't
you
think
do
Poltergeist.
That.
I don't think Poltergeist was nominated for Movie of the Year. I don't think.
And we all know that stupid Avatar didn't win.
Avatar did not win.
Oh, it's awful.
Although it is the most seen movie in motion picture, or made the most money of any movie ever.
It made me blue. Weren't they blue?
Yeah, they were blue.
Okay.
Yep, they were blue.
I never
blue.
Saw it. I don't know, Bill.
Well, it's a tough one. In the history of the Academy Awards, Wendy, 90 years of Oscars, not a single sci-fi movie has ever won the Oscar.
But this was a
not
trick
one.
Question.
I tricked you. That was my goal. I have succeeded.
Good job.
Thank you. But isn't that amazing
yes.
that in all these years, there have been some amazing sci-fi movies...
Yeah.
And this one's borderline because it is a love story dipped in
sci-fi.
Science fiction. But how in the world could you go 90 years of handing out these awards and not a single sci-fi movie wins?
Wow, and look at all the movies
there
we
mentioned.
There
have been some great ones. Yeah, there have been some really good ones. So,
oh, that's a shame.
So if it happens Sunday night, if The Shape of Water takes home the Oscar and they get to keep it, because that's fashionable now to tell a movie you won and then pull it away at the last second. If they get to keep it, they will be the first sci-fi movie, if you consider it a sci-fi movie ever, to win the Academy Award.
You're a trickster.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Yes, thank you very much.
We'll take a quick break. Mary's got more impressions that she's going to try out on you.
Oh, may I say one thing?
Yeah.
You said that it's science fiction category.
Well, they don't need to categorize movies for the Oscars. Like in other award shows, they say best comedy or best musical.
Because Get Out was a comedy. That is not.
Yeah. Get Out is a tough one to kind of call too, isn't it?
That's suspense.
It's almost horror.
Yeah, that is not a comedy. And I've heard people talk about it and it's like, oh yeah, I really enjoyed it. Some parts were funny. I didn't really recall a lot of it being funny.
I wonder if because Jordan Peele of Key and Peele wrote and directed people go, well, it must be a comedy. Jordan Peele's behind it. But then when you see it, you go, well, there's...
It's not a comedy.
There's comedic elements to it, but yeah, it's hard to call a comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Still to come on the show, Bill, we have to do something today. I don't know how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. We have a pair of tickets to see Comedy's Queen of Mean.
Lisa Lampanelli.
I love her.
Yeah, she's very funny.
She's not that mean to us.
No, she's been very nice to us.
Yes.
I think it's an act.
You do?
I think she, on stage, I think she's putting on an act, yeah.
Well, the comedy's Queen of Mean, Lisa Lampanelli, will be live in action at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan for an outrageous night of politically incorrect stand-up on April 20th. You get your taxes done, and then you can go laugh.
Yep.
Or cry if you need to. Get tickets by visiting the Genesee Theater box office, Ticketmaster.com, or Ticketmaster. You can charge by phone at 800-982-2787. When do we want to give these away?
Do you want to do it now?
Kinda.
Do it now.
Really?
Yeah, do it now. Yeah.
We love her. And I don't know if she's going to be on the show. I know
we're trying.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love her. A pair of tickets to see Lisa Lampanelli at the Genesee Theater, live in action, Waukegan, April 20th. If you'd like to go, pick a number.
Let's do caller number 14. Be caller number 14, 312-981-7200. You win everything Wendy just described. Do it now. Caller 14, 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Today,
get Chicago news first.
The moments that matter are part of the Chicago conversation. Never miss a story. News, weather, traffic, sports.
Hey, this is Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Still looking for caller 14. Jasmine cannot run through those phones that quickly. 312-981-7200. We have a pair of tickets for you to see Lisa Lampanelli, comedy's Queen of Mean, at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. If you don't win...
Mary Vandeville just told me she's going to go to the show and heckle, but she's going to heckle in her E.T. voice, so that'll be fun.
If you... listeners...
Yes, I will. She's
gonna...
the early stuff.
Who's heckling me? It's E.T.
E.T. is here.
Right.
If you are not Kathy from Prospect Heights, who just scored our pair of tickets,
yeah,
then you need to get tickets to see Lisa by visiting the Genesee Theater box office, Ticketmaster.com, or you can charge by phone at 800-982-2787. But Kathy, Prospect Heights, going to see Lisa Lampanelli live in action, Genesee Theater in Waukegan on April 20th.
Outstanding.
Congrats. Oh, boy, whatever. I don't know what's going on. Domati, thank you so much. Orion wanted to jump
in. We got a bonus
in.
Orion.
Yeah.
We got a bonus.
Yep. A bonus O.
Bonus O.
Just in
what's
time
wrong
for
with
the weekend.
That? What's wrong with that?
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. That's the website to visit, TVShowPatrol.com. How are you, Kurt? Nice to see you.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's a beautiful day out.
Yes,
isn't
it
though?
Yeah. Yes, it is. We're curious to hear your take on the Twitter war that is currently going on. Between Donald Trump and the man who plays Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live, they're bickering.
Yeah, it's a battle of two big egos. Okay.
Yeah.
Shut it.
Yeah. What happened? Give us the background.
I just am so sick of the Twitter wars. I mean, why does Donald Trump care?
Exactly.
Most presidents would not have time to address something like this. There's a lot going on in the world, but Donald Trump seems consumed by this, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Donald shot off the first salvo, I guess, where he called him Alex Baldwin instead of Alec Baldwin.
Oh. Ooh, that hurts.
He has since retweeted.
But
I think
also called Jeff Sessions Jeff Session, so maybe he's not great with plurals and singulars
he's
with
not
people's
great
names.
With details.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Any details whatsoever. But he said, you know, he talked about him having a mediocre career and said that, you know, he was commenting because Alec Baldwin had said at some point in some interview about how it was kind of agony to play
Donald Trump sure.
in the SNL skits.
Yeah.
And so he was responding to that. He said the real agony was us being forced to watch it.
That's kind of funny.
Which he wasn't forced to watch.
It's funny,
it
not accurate. But
well, it's kind of funny, but I also question how he finds time to worry about this with everything else that's going
on. Well, and also he wasn't forced to watch it.
No, of course not.
But, you know.
Of course not.
Yes, he was, because he had to. He watched
between
it every
matters
week.
Of state and watching SNL to see how people react
know,
to him.
I get it.
But Wendy and I had a discussion about a week or so ago about how if you watch late night television, almost everybody is skewering him. If you turn to Jimmy Kimmel, he's making fun of him. If you go to Stephen Colbert, he is. If you turn on Bill Maher, he is. If you go to Seth Meyers, he is.
Yeah, I mean,
Bill. Everybody is. John Oliver does a half an hour on him every week. So if you're him, do you just say to yourself, "Well, I can't watch TV anymore after 10 o'clock"?
You would think that you don't need to see anymore, but he likes to react himself, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's the sign of a big O ego. Anyway, so then Alec Baldwin could not let it go, and he just did this series of tweets talking about the president.
Can I make a prediction? Saturday Night Live is back this Saturday. They've been off for the Olympics for 3 weeks.
Right,
I
right.
bet Alec Baldwin comes on and, as Donald Trump, takes some shots at Alec Baldwin.
Maybe. He's filming a
I
movie.
I bet you're right.
He's filming a movie in New York right now.
I would totally
so
do
be
that.
Around.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he reacted with saying, "I'm doing this movie with all these great stars. That's not very mediocre." Or he said, "If that's mediocre, then sign me up."
Right.
And just all this other stuff.
Right.
His last one was, I think, about Melania. One has been trying to get tickets to SNL forever, I guess. And he said, "Tell your wife, you know, if you really hate SNL, then maybe she shouldn't try to get tickets or something like that."
That's interesting. Yeah. The Academy Awards are Sunday night.
They are.
We've been discussing them a little bit. Now, the side controversy, aside from the Academy Awards, is that Ryan Seacrest could or could not be in some trouble. There have been some allegations
right.
made against Ryan Seacrest. As of yesterday, E! Was still going to put him on, but in a different version. They were going to pre-tape interviews with celebrities just in case somebody says something negative about Ryan Seacrest.
Well, and there was a possibility that they could that they might refuse to, when he called him over or whatever, to come, you know, because
the stars may not
a red carpet thing that they might not come over. But you know, allegations have not been; they're just allegations right now. Nothing's been.
Yeah,
proven.
But you hear allegations now, and that's a guilty.
I know,
verdicts
unfortunately.
In our minds.
And it makes it uncomfortable, I think, then, because they don't want to have to backtrack. Oh, you made jokes with him on, you know,
right.
you were on air with him or something,
right.
So everybody's afraid.
So did they remove him from the awards show, or
as
that's still up in the air?
Yesterday, he was still going to be
still doing
it.
Kelly Ripa was defending him on air. You heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that clip where
she's like, "I can't wait to watch."
And
is
yeah, and he didn't
sure
really
he
talk about
on?
The allegations. He just said thanks and... You know.
He didn't want to discuss it.
Yeah, I mean, he was just.
It's probably his best move at this point, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, do you think, Kurt, that anybody whose name has come up in the circles of mistreating women, will any of those names be in attendance for the Academy Awards? James Franco has a movie that was kind of a front and center movie for a while until the allegations about him. Will he be there, do you think? Or is it too.
Well, he did go to the Golden Globes.
With mixed response from the audience when they called out his name as a nominee.
Right. I don't think he did. He didn't end up getting nominated for
this. He was
Oscar,
not nominated for this.
No. And that's probably part of the reason why. But I'm not sure. I don't know if he'll be there or not.
Hmm.
How
much time do you think
they'll
spend? Will they address it at all, the Me Too movement? It's got to get some mention at some point, right? It's too big of a story to ignore.
Jimmy Kimmel's the host. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's come up with lots of things.
We have a bet. I said
Zingers.
He's going to cry.
Did Jimmy Kimmel will cry during the awards?
He just was on Ellen and cried because they donated a room to his son in the hospital.
Oh,
she got all this
nice.
Money together. It's really super sweet.
That's right. Very nice.
And he, of course, cried. And he's just, he cries a lot, and something may come up. I'll bet you he cries. I'll bet you
well,
50 cents.
I'm sure it's his mission not to make it a maudlin affair. So.
Right.
Well, no, but I just, something will touch him or something.
But, you know, he, on a nightly basis, is able to mix the good news and the bad news and
right.
make the show funny.
Yep.
And Seth Meyers pulled it off beautifully when he hosted an award show a month ago. So it can certainly be done. It's a very, very difficult subject, certainly. You can't
right.
make jokes about it, but, you know.
Well, I think he will.
Yeah. All right. Let's
I mean,
see what
he
happens.
Won't make jokes about.
Are you on Wendy's side? Will he cry at any point?
I don't
during
think
the...
he'll cry.
No.
I'm going with cry.
All right. We'll see.
Will he giggle?
Yes.
Will there ever... Yeah.
He'll giggle.
There'll
I'm
be
sure
some
he'll
giggling?
Giggle. Yeah.
Will he be? Will there be any moments that scare him where he screams?
I don't know.
No screaming. Interesting.
I don't know.
I want a full range of emotions.
This
from
sounds
my
like
host.
A psychiatric test. Are
right.
you scared? Are you
right.
sad? Are you happy?
They'll show him a series of photographs and we'll see how he reacts. That'll be a fun test. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions for Kurt or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Cries, TVShowPatrol.com.
People are going to start snapping their fingers, Wendy, if you talk in that tone. You know that. Kurt Wagner is here.
To wear my beanie next time.
Yes, please. Wear a beret. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. We're talking about the world of television. Kurt, on PBS, I think tonight, is a documentary about Harvey Weinstein. They put this thing together fairly quickly, didn't they?
Yeah, it was the BBC and BBC. It's a Frontline thing. So it was BBC and PBS. And it doesn't really break new ground in the investigation or anything, but yeah. What's cool about it is it talks to some of the lesser known victims or alleged victims of his. And it's interesting to see these women talk. You know, it sort of makes it more impactful to actually get to see them speak on their own without, you know, the layer of the news, the media or anything like that in between. And to see how angry they still are. And the first case that it brings up was in 1980. So that also just made me go, wow,
it's been going
on
that long.
A long time for this to be happening.
Yeah.
And so that made it. That sort of made it more impactful to me.
Was
and more
his
interesting.
Move similar or the same with most of these women?
It was kind of a lot of them similar.
Really?
The whole, you got to meet him in his hotel room to have your meeting with him. And
because remember when all the women came out against Bill Cosby, the one thing everybody said was, wow, he kind of kept doing almost the exact same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
I wondered if Harvey
Right, and I think a lot of his were that way too. But he really... It's just the evil. Yeah. I mean, just some of the things. Like, I don't know if you read, Salma Hayek wrote a great op-ed story for the New York Times last fall, I think. And she never ended up being forced to do anything with him. But he tried. And oh boy, did he try. And she went through every instance of that when he did it. And the mind games he played and all the like, she did every single thing. Wrote every single thing that he did, that he made her do when she was making that the movie about the Mexican artist.
I can't think of her name.
The one with the a lot of her stuff's at the Art Institute, and I can't think of her name. But that was like her passion project forever and ever. She wanted to do that, and he threatened to just dump the movie.
Is it Hidalgo? Is that what it is?
No,
or am I thinking of a different movie?
That's something else.
I'm thinking of a different movie.
But he threatened to just dump the movie. He said she had to put a sex scene in when, you know, like, because she wouldn't actually have sex with him.
So he was wanted
like,
to...
you have to, because he was producing the movie and he had the power to dump the movie, to just end it. And so she talks about the mind games of it.
Here's what's strange about, well, there's so much strange about him and this, what he did or was alleged to have done. But it seemed like, for those of us who would see him only at award shows, because if we're not in the movie business, that's when you're going to see Harvey Weinstein is showing up at award shows and collecting his trophies. He seemed like a very gregarious guy who most of Hollywood loved. Like, they would, whoever was the host would throw a joke about him at some point. They'd cut to other audience members who'd be laughing and applauding and stuff. So I think our perception of him was, he's everybody's favorite uncle. He's their fun uncle, but he wasn't. He was the exact opposite.
Frida.
That's it. Thank you, Wendy. Yes.
Yeah. He was a powerful man who abused his power.
Yeah.
You know, and all those grabbing grins with actresses, you know, now you look back and you go, huh. You know,
and
was
who
that
broke this? Was it Ronan Farrow that pretty much brought this forward?
I think he got that whole
ball rolling.
And it had been out in like a dirty little secret.
Rose McGowan was really pushing to get news out, but it seemed like no one was really believing her, giving credence to anything she said until Ronan Farrow wrote about it.
Yeah. And their company, Weinstein Productions, was one of the most prolific and profitable in all of Hollywood, and they just filed for bankruptcy the other day.
Yeah, and I think they just I think somebody just made a deal to buy all
their properties.
Yeah.
This is a new thing we want to try with you, and it was your idea. I love this. This is your recommendation of the week. What is your first recommendation of the week?
Hulu has the show called The Looming Tower, which is a historical drama, and I love historical dramas, but I always think of them as, you know, 1800s,
period
1700s,
pieces.
Period pieces like that. But this was 1990s, and it's the war between the CIA and the FBI leading up to 9/11.
Yeah.
And how... their turf war sort of didn't necessarily cause 9/11, but allowed it to happen more easily, I guess, you know. And it's just fascinating. It's based on the court, the Senate testimony, and all that kind of stuff. Which I mean, I was in news then, right? I was working at the Tribune then, and I remember reading that stuff and sort of it not dawning completely. I mean, it dawned on me that turf war was a bad thing, but the show doing this in this dramatic frame really makes it hit home, you know, and you're really like,
oh. And is it factual? I mean,
yeah, it is. It's totally it's based on the Senate testimony. It's based on a book. I can't remember whose book it is, but it's somebody, one of the characters in the thing and in the show, and it's just fascinating. Dan Futterman wrote it. And he is an actor. He's been an actor in things, but he's also a writer and producer. And it's just it's and it, I think the book it's based on was a Pulitzer Prize winning.
And who's in it? There's a couple of big names book, in it, right?
Yeah, Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels plays.
I love him.
This FBI guy who was like the squeaky wheel, I guess. He would just go and storm into the CIA offices or the Defense Department's offices or whatever, and try to get things done. And I think he ended up getting. After it all happened, he ended up getting fired, or he quit because he wasn't being heard.
Oh.
And I think he was in working as security at one of the towers when it ended up.
Oh, no.
When that ended up happening, because this is sort of way early.
Yeah,
you know, it sort of starts with the bombing of a couple embassies. One, I think, in Kenya. And one somewhere else. So it's like early 90s.
Yeah, yeah,
that sounds really good.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating. And you know, it has all these players who, when you figure out, you know, who they are, they're like, you know, people who were in the administration back then, the Bush administration back then. And it's just the most amazing show.
It's
really
called
good.
The Looming Tower, and it's on Hulu.
Hulu, and they've dropped the first three episodes this week.
Oh, okay. It's a limited edition, a limited series, they're calling it, right?
Yeah.
There's six or eight episodes, I think, right?
I think
is that right?
There might be 10.
Oh, 10? Is there? Yeah.
Maybe.
And Wendy, you have a new show that you love.
I have two, actually, but I'll just do one this week, one next week. L.A. to Vegas. I was turned on to that by my boys. It's really super funny. It's like The Office meets Superstore all on a plane. Mm-hmm. You've got a great joke cast of Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney, who people have been confusing for years, and they're... Right. Competitive pilots. It's really funny. The acting is good, and you said there's a local girl.
Yeah, there's somebody who went to Northwestern. Olivia Macklin is her name. She's a Northwestern grad, and she plays the hooker with the heart of gold in this.
I would say stripper. There's a difference.
Oh,
well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah, there's. Yeah. But yeah. Okay, stripper with a heart of gold. You're right.
She goes to, this is all involved about a flight going to Vegas on Friday night from LA and comes home on Sunday.
And I talked to her because, you know, I said, it's sort of like when you ride the same train in Chicago to work or the same bus.
Yeah.
You end up, you know, same time every day, 5 days a week, you end up seeing the same people. And that's what this is. But their commute is from LA to Vegas because this flight is really short.
Yeah.
And they go there and she goes there. And back home in LA, she's a student.
Yeah.
She's an entrepreneur. She's all this other stuff. And in Vegas, she's a stripper. But
with a heart of gold.
With a heart of gold. But she strips. I mean, she recruits strippers on the plane.
Yeah.
She
tries to get. If you mention like, my name, I'll get a bonus.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's really funny. It has all these really funny things. And Dylan McDermott, Dermot Mulroney is just guest starring a lot. But Dylan
McDermott is hysterical. I didn't recall him ever really being that funny.
And I don't,
so funny.
Yeah, and he hasn't gotten to do a lot of comedy, but he's great because he's just, his character is just obnoxiously egotistic.
Yes.
And just, it's like he should be flying, but he's not. You know,
and
it's like,
called what, Wendy?
It's called L.A. to Vegas.
And it's on Fox. On Fox. Yeah. All right.
Really funny.
It's really hilarious. And it's a workplace comedy, but it's just a weird workplace.
Yeah,
I've laughed out loud, which is
really?
It's
a lot.
Really funny. Good. Like cackling at one point. Oh. It's really funny.
Yeah.
I like that. Kurt, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Kurt Wagner's website again is tvshowpatrol.com. It's a good one. We'll take a quick break, then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. It's Friday. That's some good news right there. We're at 312-981-7200. If you'd like to join in, if you have any questions or comments, recipes, whatever you have.
Hey, you laugh. I love recipes.
All right. Call Wendy if you have a great recipe. She's always looking for something.
I'll share recipes with you. Oh, I love
Kim,
recipes.
You get high marks from everybody here at the station, including Wendy, anytime
on your
you...
matzo ball
yeah,
soup.
And whatever
oh
you
my
make,
God.
People love it.
I know, so. But I'm kind of a Pinterest junkie now. Like,
me too.
Constantly pinning recipes. Who cares if I make them? They just sound good and it's fun to look.
I know. That is your food porn for sure. It's recipe porn because a lot of them I don't make, and I'll Google something and find something and pin it to my Pinterest board.
And then nothing comes of it
well,
after
Well, someday
that?
I'll make it. I mean, my intentions are there.
Right.
But
it just takes time. Well, you have to think about it. You have to get the ingredients.
Yeah.
It's a couple months right there.
Can I hire you to do that?
No, I have all kinds of things, Wendy. I don't have time for that.
I'll pay you.
You know that internet thing that we've talked about in the past? It's on your computer. You got the internet on your computer now.
That's how we get to Pinterest.
Right. Yeah. It all ties in, right? All right. So a week ago, would it have been a week ago today? Yeah, about a week ago today, give or take a day. I saw somebody, and I didn't read up on it because I thought, well, this is a one-time thing. I don't need to know this. But as I'm scrolling through Facebook, somebody's got a picture of cereal. It looked like Fruit Loops, but I'm not sure. But it's something Fruit Loop looking. And then it's just a picture of Fruit Loops, and there's an ice cube on it. And I just go, oh, okay, whatever. And I just move on. There's no reason to stop.
But you looked at it because you like cereal.
I'm just scrolling through, and I see a picture of Fruit Loops, and I go, oh, no, Fruit Loops have been involved in a news story. I hope Fruit Loops are okay, but it was just Fruit Loops and an ice cube.
An ice cube.
Yeah, but I didn't. It wasn't to me. It wasn't compelling enough to look it up. Like why? I just went. All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
I didn't even see it.
Then a couple days later, somebody else has a picture of what looked to be Cocoa Krispies or something like that, and again, it's in a bowl, as you'd put it, and it had milk, and then there was also an ice cube on it, and I went, oh, that's weird. I bet it's the same guy as the other day. He must like ice cubes in a cereal. But again, not enough for me to do any research. Then a day or two later, I see two more of these. So now within a 4 or 5 day span, I've seen four pictures of various kinds of cereal with ice cubes. Well, now at MSN, they've gotten to the bottom of this.
I have not seen a one.
You're not getting these pictures?
No.
You, consider yourself fortunate.
It does seem like
because
it's bothering you.
I've told you in the past, I know it's trendy now to take pictures of food. Like if I've been
it was
in restaurants,
trendy.
Is that already over?
I think so.
I've been in restaurants where people are having a conversation. There's adults sitting in a restaurant and they order food, and then the food comes, and they don't say anything to each other. They just all take out their phones and they snap a picture of their food, and then they go about their business as though that's not weird.
Listen, the way chefs are rock stars now, sometimes it's plated so beautifully that you kind of are amazed.
I want to agree with that, but it wasn't a chef type situation. It was just
like
standard,
a burger.
The first time it happened was in a Cajun restaurant, and the food came out, and it looked like Cajun food should look. It wasn't noteworthy at all, but it just became like, because I even said to my wife, I go, is that what you do now in a restaurant when the food comes? And she goes, apparently. And I go, because I'm not going to do it. And she goes, no, you don't have to do it. But they wanted to.
You get so angry.
Well, it was just weird. Like nothing was said. They were just mid-conversation. The food came. They both stopped for a second, took a picture. And Terry said, well, maybe they're food critics.
Yeah.
But they weren't food critics. Because I've seen other people do it too. And then you post it.
Keep your eyes on your own table.
But then
you?
I don't know, like, how do you, what is your, that is jambalaya. Like, I don't know what you'd react, how would you react to that?
It's not you. Maybe it's like, you know, I just moved here from New Orleans. This is my first non-New Orleans jambalaya. Or, I've never had jambalaya before.
Maybe.
Listen, you have a radio show to be creative.
Right?
Everybody else has Facebook.
No, I know, and I appreciate that. It's just to me, it's just weird because I've had meals in restaurants thousands of times. Sometimes the food is stunning, other times it's not. But it's never in my head. I've never gone, this must be photographed and shown to people. I've never had
two
that.
Two things: you don't know how to use the camera on your phone.
I do not know how to use
the
camera.
Okay, so that's first and foremost.
Right. But I could sketch it. I could do like a charcoal sketch of my
and
phone.
Then take a picture of that. Because
right.
I'd like, you should do that. That will be funny.
I'll
to
start
just
a trend with
black
that.
And white or charcoal,
yeah.
Black and white visions of
look,
your.
Look, I had salmon and tater tots. Look.
And you
sketch.
Eat out every night. pretty much.
More nights than not.
Some of us don't go to restaurants.
So maybe it's not as special to Bill as it is to other people, and then that's why they love to Instagram it and Bill doesn't, because he doesn't care. He's always in a restaurant.
But Kim, when you get a pic, when somebody has gone out and they ordered pork chops, and then you're on Facebook and you go, oh, look, my friend Dan had pork chops. Like, what is your reaction when you see that?
I mean, sometimes it's kind of cool to look if it's something unique and different. Other times it's like, oh, cool, they're at wherever. That's a great place, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I'm nosy. To other people.
I guess.
I take pictures of things I've made. That's
me
too. Like, if I've done something.
If I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah. Like my little mozzarella caprese Santa Claus appetizer that I made. They look like little Santa Clauses with the little mozzarella balls, basil, and a cherry tomato. I made those for a Christmas party, and I thought they were cute, and I took a picture
of
them.
But I could see where you're showing off your ability to create something.
Yes, I was tooting my own
toothpick. But all these people are doing is they're going to a restaurant and ordering something, and then it arrives. They're like, well, that's noteworthy. I ordered food, and they brought it to me. I got to share this with everybody I know. Don't you find that as being a little strange?
No, because everybody does it. Whether or not you like it,
All right, so let's say after the show, I get a box of Milk Duds, and I go, well, that's weird. I had a taste for Milk Duds. I went to Walgreens. I bought them. I got to show everybody I know that I bought Milk Duds. That's not even a little bit strange to you at all?
Well, it depends what you caption it with.
Milk Duds.
People would
hashtag
do that.
Broken tooth.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to look at other people's stuff. But
no, I can't escape it at this point.
I don't see that much food anymore. Who are you chefs or friends with, chefs?
Well, the load time on my computer is such that I'm still getting loadings from like a year ago.
Are you following? Is this on Instagram or what are you on?
He's not on Instagram.
Are you on Instagram, Bill? Wendy, I need to follow you, I think.
Yeah, I'm Snide Remarks.
Okay.
I'm on MySpace, Kim. I'm getting it on MySpace.
Okay. I got to check my MySpace. I wonder how old my mail is.
So you must be following Chef Boyardee on MySpace.
Yes, that's who I am. Little Debbie. I'm following Little Debbie.
She has some good oatmeal cream pies.
King Oscar.
I know what you mean, but I kind of don't know what you mean, because who cares? Why do you care what makes someone else happy?
It's just strange that...
It's not that strange.
It's not
really... It's more strange not to take a picture of food.
Oh, no, don't say that. It's more strange to not take a picture of food that you've ordered, really? Do you believe that?
I mean, look... Yes, you and Terry do not take pictures of you. I bet your daughters have. They are more into social media than you are. Instagram, that's all what it is making a visual picture story of your life.
Right.
So you take pictures of everything.
I guess, but it goes along with a radio show. No, I know, but it goes along with what I said yesterday, is that now society, instead of enjoying life, wants to record life. They're not living in the moment anymore. They're like, I wonder what people will think of the moment I'm in.
You're not enjoying life because you're worried about other people taking pictures.
I'm loving life. But
the
thing that I love most is that people like you think that's normal. I got Fruit Loops. I must share this with everyone I've ever met.
Well, I don't know what the ice cube in the cereal is. And
I can get to that.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break. Why are people taking pictures of their cereal with ice cubes?
Somebody said if you chew your Milk Duds first and take a picture, then you should do it.
I'll do that.
All right,
that's a deal. All right, more ahead. Stick around if you want to jump in. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I love Oprah.
Oprah.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I have to start by saying when you and I disagree on things, it's totally fine. And I don't try to win. I just voice my opinions.
Sure.
You voice yours.
Right.
And
like on Morning Joe. Except we're not going to get married.
No, because we're already married.
We're already married.
But I want
Very fortunate people.
I'm not. Listen, I just want to say I'm not the type of person where I have to be right and you have to be wrong.
Right.
I'm the type of person that we each have an idea and we voice our opinion.
Yes.
What I'm saying here is there are about 10 to 12 texts that all agree with you.
Is that true?
Yeah, and I'm telling you this
thank
because...
Thank you, everybody who did that.
You
I did
10
not...
or 12 people are stupid. No, I'm kidding. Oh. I'm kidding. But, I mean, I just want you to know, I'm with you, Bill. I don't get it. Wendy, it is very strange. I agree with you, Bill. What do you need the picture for? I don't care to see it. Oh, my God, Bill is so right. I take a picture of my food and then complain about it. I am on Bill's side. My wife does it. Drives me crazy. I agree with Bill. Right on. Stay strong, Bill. It's That's not normal. I'm with Bill. Who cares what you have for dinner? It's stupid.
The best one was about 4 months ago. One of my best friends had this. It looked like it was an HD picture. I don't know if he got a great camera or what, but it was just a bowl of macaroni and cheese. And the caption was, Tuesday, macaroni and cheese, delicious. And I agreed with him, but I didn't think it warranted a posting anywhere on the internet. I know the internet is a very vast place. I'm actually switching, Wendy, to the dark web. This is my last day on the regular internet. I'm going to the dark web.
Everybody takes everything to extreme, too.
Yeah, but I mean, something that you post may not be of interest to someone else.
That's why I stopped posting.
So you just flip through it, you know, just go on to the next thing.
Right.
I don't necessarily agree with taking picture of the food, but it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you.
Like, I don't care if, you know, it's great to see somebody's beautiful, something they've created or made,
or
a beautiful dish, or they're somewhere very special, but, you know, to see their hamburger they're pulling through and buying at McDonald's, I don't really care.
No, and I like to see people's pets, and if I'm not in a pet mood, then I move along.
Just keep going. Yeah.
I'd rather look at somebody's pets than their new baby.
Oh.
That's where we're different. Right. Joe, what do you think about this?
Well, I don't understand it myself at all, but my daughters go to dinner with me a lot, and they do the exact same thing. But I asked them why they do it, and they said most of their friends are always dieting, so they post those pictures so they can rub it in their face.
Oh, no. It's to make them jealous?
Yep. Okay, Bill, now that's on your bandwagon.
Bill loves that.
They told me that, and alcohol as well.
Really? Interesting.
Everything they take.
And that's funny. You know, your daughters, and Bill, I'm telling you, I'd love to get your daughters on the phone right now, because that's what it's all about, social media now and putting pictures up.
I guess so.
Yeah, but they're 40 and 33.
Oh!
Well, then they...
Oh.
All right, that's mean.
That's different. That is
mean. They've been taught well by their kids.
Joe, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And Dan has an idea, too. Why do you take pictures?
Well, I'm kind of a nut for maybe getting sick out in the public, whether it be drive-through or sit-down. So if I were to take that picture, it'd be in case I got sick. I know where the heck I got sick at and what I ate. Now, I save receipts for 3-4 days at a time in case I get an upset stomach. I know where I got it.
So if there's food poisoning, this is used as Exhibit A in some sort of
absolutely.
A court of brilliant. All right.
Absolutely. Step down next case.
Very funny.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Dan.
It. See, people have reasons you don't think of.
I guess so. All right.
Everyone
so,
agrees with you on this text
so
line.
I didn't expect that. Thank you, everybody. You're very, very kind. And the people who don't agree with me are probably currently taking photographs of their lunch, so they don't have time to text in.
See, you mock.
It turns out, Wendy, that this trend is happening because evidently people love the milk in their cereal to be as cold as it can possibly be. And
that's why I have a refrigerator.
Right. Many of us have a refrigerator. But apparently, in order to keep the milk cold around their cereal, they'll throw in an ice cube. And for some reason, it has become a trend on Facebook and similar social media platforms to show the world that you like your cereal cold and you have a freezer. And you
but
have
to
the ability
me, that's
going to
make it mushy and watery, and that is going to be gross.
Yep. Yeah. I don't here. Just turn the refrigerator temperature up.
You could also do that. That would be what common
that's
sense
what this
would
is.
Dictate.
Or just, you know, use a splash of milk, and then when it doesn't get cold anymore, add another
fresh
splash.
Milk. Yeah. Right. Fresh. Right.
That's what I do. If I go,
me too.
I really am hooked on cereal, and I like my Lucky Charms are like my good sugary cereal.
Yeah.
But there is a cereal out there that is the best cereal in the world,
and that is
it's Special K Cinnamon Pecan.
Oh.
Oh, I like the coconut.
Oh, I didn't know they had it.
Oh, it's good. Coconut cranberry, I think.
That's what we put in our cat litter, coconut.
That's the code word.
Yeah.
But Special K Cinnamon Pecan, I am addicted to. Like, if I have a little taste for something sweet before bed, I'll have a bowl of cereal. I like having cereal before bed.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It is. And yeah. I know Bill eats it dry and doesn't put milk on it.
Right.
That's just Bill Leff. I don't know what else to say. No one agrees with you on
no,
the text line
you won't
with
get
that.
Anyone who agrees with that.
But it's when you have your bowl of cereal and then you go, I kind of want a little more, so you pour more cereal.
Yeah, right.
But the milk is hot, so you got to add you got to top off your milk
right.
and get it cold.
No,
so
I
I'm
understand.
With the cold milk, but just not an ice cube.
No, that's going to make it water.
It seems a bit much, doesn't it?
Special
really
K cranberry and coconut?
I think it's cranberry. I know there's coconut in it. It's really good.
Wow. I didn't know Special K branched out into...
It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Cinnamon pecan is like...
That sounds really good.
Really good. It's not too sweet. It's nutty.
Now, imagine like yourself you. As a... Thank you. Imagine yourself as a child and somebody gives you Special K as your cereal. You'd be mad at them, wouldn't you? You go, what? This,
back then, because it
that's
there was
an adult
nothing.
Cereal, right?
I mean, grape nuts,
yeah, it's
come
coconut,
on.
Coconut, cranberry, almond.
Oh, wow. Very tempting.
Yul right. Gibbons used to eat the, you know...
I know.
Well, you know, it's funny. You say yeah. you ate cereal every night before you
yeah. not
before
every
you go,
night.
Well,
but
my
yes.
grandfather actually ate a bowl of grape nuts every night before he went to bed. It did not matter if he had a 20-course meal; he would go home and eat grape nuts and then go to bed.
Top it off.
Yep.
That's
oh,
so
the
good.
Milk helps you sleep.
Yeah, I'll be the first grandfather in history that ends my evening with a bowl of blueberry. I don't think any other grandma...
And take a picture of it.
Right. You all get a photo. Everyone gets a photo. We'll find out what Amy Guth has next. She's hosting the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.